أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Our discussion around this hadith has reached the point where we were talking about the Zad and Rahila. And that's where the discussion of muraqabatun nafs, muhasabatun nafs, and muraqabatun nafs came in the middle. So remember that we discussed that any travel, whether physical or spiritual, requires 8 things: the mabda, which is the origin, and the muntaha, which is the destiny, and the masafat, means the path, and the distance, and the masir, which is the path, and the zad means those are the things which are required during the trip for our survival successfully. And sixth of all was the vehicle or the means of transportation, rahila. And seventh of all was the rafiq, the companion of the travel. And eighth and last of all was the guide, the hadi and the guide of the travel. These are the 8 things which are required for any physical or spiritual trip. And our discussion reached the point regarding the zad and rahila, the 5th and the 6th points. Zad means things which are required for our successful survival during the trip. And in the case of the spiritual travel that we are talking about, in the taharat of the qalb, the zad is what we already discussed as taqwa. And we discussed quite a lot about taqwa already. And the definition of taqwa, which has been narrated by Ayatullah al-Uzma Khaja Nasiruddin At-Tusi rahmatullah alayh in his famous book Awsaf al-Ashraf, was to summarize in a nutshell that taqwa constitutes of 3 things: khawf, the fear of Allah; at-tahashi anil ma'asi, that means staying away from the sins; and talab al-taqarrub, that means seeking the nearness of Allah. Obviously, we seek the nearness through performing the wajibs as a bare minimum. Obviously, the mustahabbat, the sunan, and the adab, the etiquettes, are all part of the process of getting close to Allah. لا يزال عبدي المؤمن يتقرب إلي بالنافلة حتى كنت أحبه. Isn't it right? So my slave, mu'min slave, continues to be getting closer to me through nafila, until I end up loving him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us when we get close to him through the nafila. Well, nafila is not wajib. So obviously it's not only wajibat that makes us close to Allah. It's the sunan, means the recommended things, the mustahabbat, and also the adab and etiquettes, which are basically awsaf al-qalb. Adab are things which are related to the awsaf and sifat and the attributes of your soul. So what kind of beautiful attributes your soul has is going to how much spiritual attributes you have acquired in your soul, that is going to determine your level of closeness to Allah as well. So basically, taqwa, according to the definition of Ayatullah al-Uzma Khadr Nasiruddin al-Tusi rahmatullah alayh, one of our all-time greatest scholars and one of the most remarkable personalities of our glorious history, is the definition that he says includes these three things: the khawf, abstinence from the harams, and doing things seeking the taqarrub of Allah, doing things through which we seek the taqarrub of Allah. These three things compose the concept of taqwa. And obviously, we already discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the biggest and actually the only mu'allim and teacher, because Quran has said ittaqullaha wa yu'allimukum Allah. So which is a clear evidence that Allah himself teaches those who have taqwa. And obviously it is very significant to when that's very significant, as we are discussing the concept of taqwa, to hold ourselves accountable on daily basis, like I mentioned in the last lesson, muraqabatun nafs and muhasabatun nafs, and both concepts were clearly mentioned to you. And muraqaba and muhasaba is required constantly, not only to make sure that we are not doing a wrong in our life. If we are doing a wrong or a mistake, we can correct ourselves. We are the best people to correct ourselves instead of others, because we know ourselves best. And obviously not everybody has a murabbi, a spiritual mentor, like big Urafa always used to have, and always have the murabbi who take care of them. And like Ayatullah Al-Uzma Qadhi rahmatullah alayh, Sayyid Qadhi was for Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh. Ayatullah Al-Uzma Sheikh Shah Abadi was for Imam Al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayh. So every great scholar and arif has a murabbi, but that's for those who are already, those who are great in their spirituality, deserve that kind of tawfiq from Allah. For the regular mu'mineen, they are supposed to hold account themselves accountable, not only to make sure that they are not doing a mistake. On daily basis, we need to make sure that we are not making mistakes in our lives. And if we did, then we don't sleep without doing the tawbah. But also to make sure that we are not treading the wrong path. It's a very frequent issue that sometimes we are treading the wrong path and we perceive that this path is right. And this is another obstacle which will be removed if we do muhasaba and muraqaba. So the look at the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, that al-amilu ala ghayri basiratin kasaira ala ghayri tariq. A person who acts without basirat is like a person who is treading on the wrong path. So if I want to go to New York and you can tell me, you can take I-80, I-90 east, isn't it right? What if I'm going on I-90 west and my destination was New York? I'm never going to reach. The more I go farther on I-90 west, the farther I'm going to get from my desired destination. This is what we are discussing, that one of the benefits of muraqabah and muhasabah is to make sure we get rid of wrong perceptions that we acquire in our life about various behaviors, policies, paths that we tread, and policies that we adopt. So, al-amilu ala ghayr basiratin kassaira ala ghayr tariq. Somebody who acts on, acts without the proper understanding and in-depth understanding and awareness of the religion is like a person who is treading on the wrong path, not on the right path. Ala ghayr tariq. La yaziduhu kasratu sair illa bu'da. So, the more he goes, the farther he gets. He is going to get farther with his travel. So, our amal, even though if we don't do muraqabatun nafs, we cannot avoid the accountability. So it makes perfect sense that we hold ourselves accountable of our own selves before we are held accountable by Allah and the angels on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because amal are registered, we believe in tasjeel and sabt of amal. Ayat and ahadith are full. We have abundant that talk about, in the light of those ayat and ahadith, we learn the amal are registered by the angels. Even our scholars say that even the breaths that we are taking in our life are also registered. Even the thoughts of the mind of a human, imaginations of the mind are also registered. And even the intentions, good or bad, are also registered. So, يَوْمَ إِذِنْ يَسْلُرُ النَّاسُ Quran says, Surah Al-Zilzal, verse 8, يَوْمَ إِذِنْ يَسْلُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So, we learn that on that day, people are will be resurrected. They will come out in groups and لَيُرَوْا, so that they can be shown أَعْمَالَهُمْ, their actions. In another verse from Surah Al-Kahf, verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَضَعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ. So when the book has been laid down, you see the mujrimeen, the criminals, are afraid. So, يَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا, the ayat moves forward, and then later on it says, وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. So basically, this, what kind of book is this? In other words, that it, every small and big is not missed. It's written in the book. It's every small and big is there in the book. وَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And they would find what they have done present, and your Lord does not oppress no one. So basically, our own actions are will be found. So we believe rightfully so, that actions will be personified in the forms and surat and shape visibly seen to our eyes. We can see the actions, good and bad, in various zulmani or nurani forms. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا. On the day, every life, every person would see what he did from the good deeds made available and present. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. Surah Ali Imran, verse number 30. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn in the light of this verse that the good deeds are made available, everybody is going to find, and the bad deeds similarly will be made available, it will be found by everyone, and people who did the bad deed will wish on that day that I wish that there is a far lying distance between me and my bad deeds. So a bad doing person is not going to wish to even get closer to his own deeds, which are now visibly available in front of him. He doesn't even want to get closer to his own deeds. And Surah Qaf, verse number 18, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. So he doesn't say any statement except that there is an angel available there at hand to basically, in other words, the angel is there to register the deeds. So every word which is uttered, there's an angel at hand ready there to register the deed. In another verse from Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَّضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. So basically, the mizan, the criteria, the yardstick, the measure for the actions will be laid down, and nobody will be subject to oppression. So Allah is not going to do any zulm. Allah doesn't do any zulm. But basically, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, Quran says. And Zalam in the Arabic grammar is a sigha of mubalagha, and in the tafsir the scholars have discussed that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the word Zalam, somebody who does the zulm a lot. Allah doesn't do zulm even a little. Why is Allah using the word of sigha of mubalagha, an exaggeration for himself, when he doesn't even do a small zulm? And the Mufassireen have mentioned that maybe ihtimalan, because even a small zulm from Allah is considered in his favor to be big. So maybe this is the reason why he is using the word of zulam. So basically, there is no zulm from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all adl. So, but the mizan is laid, and now we find that everybody is subjected to pass through that stage and will be tested. Another verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 243-248, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. So if you express something, or you hide it in yourself, you express it, whatever is in your heart, in yourselves, you express it or you hide it, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you accountable for that. So everything we learn in the light of the verse, that everything which is open in the hidden, the things which are open in the hidden are all subject to accountability. Another verse from Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 8, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, so we learn in the light of the verse that tawzeen, that means measuring of the deeds, is according to the criteria of haqq. Measuring will be done according to haqq. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينَهُ, whosoever's weights are heavier, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, they are the ones who would succeed. And whoever's weights are lighter, in other words, they are the ones who lost their selves. So, also in Surah Qaf, verse number 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ma'aha sa'ikun wa shaheed. Laqad kunta fi ghaflatin min hadha fabasaruka fakashafna anka ghita'aka fabasaruka al-yawma hadid. This is from Surah Qaf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, we learn in the light of the verse, that every person will be brought on the day of judgment, and this every person will have two angels. One is the sa'iq, the one who brings the person. There's an angel who will be dragging or bringing the person, and another angel is shaheed, is the witness. So one person is dragging, one angel is dragging or pulling or bringing the person, the other angel is the witness. And لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. Certainly you were in the state in ghaflat, in the state of ignorance, ignoring the reality in ghaflat. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. So we removed away from you your curtain, and today your eyes became sharp. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. So this is going to, people will discover after the curtain is removed in front of their eyes. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. Now that the curtain is removed, they start seeing the reality. So the realities used to exist even back then in the life of dunya, that we were failed to discover because of the curtains and hijabat of the sins. Isn't that right? That's what the knowledge of tazkiyah teaches us, to work hard to remove those hijabat. Now, obviously, a human in his lifespan, gradually, tadrijan, performs various amal. And some of the times, we end up doing the wrongs. And some of the times we end up forgetting our own wrongs, which is very easy to forget. It's very hard for a human to forget the wrongs of others, and it's very easy for a human to forget the wrongs of his own self. And it's very hard to even pay attention to our own wrongs with all the tazyeen and tasweel that the shaitan provides for us, decorating the wrongs in front of our eyes to justify it. And it's very easy to discover the wrongs of others and pointing fingers at others, which shaitan will never block us from doing that, our scholars of akhlaq say, because pointing fingers at others is not going to benefit your taharat and tazkiyah. Why would shaitan block you from doing that? So shaitan will never block us. So it's always easy for us to point fingers at others and point out the speck in the eyes of others and forgetting the beam in our own eyes. Isn't that right? Because that's how shaitan is basically not going to block us. So the bottom line is that humans tend to forget their own faults, and now they find it's all written down. The pile of sins is increasing. It's on the rise. The angels are not forgetting. If we forget the mistakes we did, the angels are not, and they are all registering the acts. All of a sudden we find that I die from this world, and now I'm subjected to my book of deeds, and now I'm subjected to my own actions, good or bad, in a personification, in the form of faces and surat, and they are found next to me, good and bad, and now I'm stuck with those actions for ever. So now we have two options, as the scholars say. As a person reaches one of the toughest mawaqif of Qiyamah, we believe in 50 mawaqif, mawaqif al-Qiyamah, we call them. At every mawqif and station on the Day of Judgment, there is a question that will be asked. We will be held for 1,000 years at every mawqif, and 50 mawaqif and stations of Qiyamah, 1,000 years at each mawqif means 50,000 years. Day of Judgment equals 50,000 years. Isn't that right? So 50 mawaqif of Qiyamah. And the toughest, our scholars of akhlaq say, one of the toughest of the mawaqif is the mawqif of zulm. If a person has done zulm on somebody else, someone else, this is one of the toughest. Some scholars say the toughest of all the stops and mawaqif. Well, mawaqif of Qiyamah, all of them are tough. because we are facing now the justice of God, so we cannot escape. So, but the toughest, some of the scholars say, is the mawqif of mazlama. That means if I have done zulm on someone else. So here, there is no way of a person crossing it unless we get accountable for. We get accounted. Now, how to get rid of that state? Three options. When we face the mawqif of zulm, now option number one. You know, we can basically, if let's suppose I took up $100 from you and I didn't pay you back. Let's suppose for a moment. Now, option number one, I give you the $100 back. Well, nobody has $100 there on the Day of Judgment. We are resurrected, you know, with nothing with us except the kafan. And that kafan will be on the body if a person is muttaqi. If a person is a non-muttaqi, he will be resurrected bare and naked. يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, people will be resurrected naked and barefooted. حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا. So all the people will be resurrected naked and barefooted. Except those who have taqwa. Our scholars of akhlaq say they are the only ones who will be having the kafan on them. So now, obviously, the Day of Judgment, a person is having the kafan on, he has taqwa, good, very good. Now, if a person has one zulm towards somebody, now he, option A, he pays back the $100 to the person. There is no $100 available. B, option B, now obviously, the option B is that he faces the bad deeds of the person will then be transferred towards him. That's the second deal that can suffice for the magnitude of $100 of harm. So $100 of harm that this person inflicted on the other person, the bad deeds need to be transferred from that person from whom I took the $100 and didn't pay him back, let's suppose. His bad deeds need to be transferred in accordance to the magnitude of the haram or the zulm or the harm that the person inflicted. The bad deeds from his side will be transferred. Or, obviously, the third one is very clear upon all of us. The hellfire is going to take the revenge in the magnitude of the zulm, taking away the flesh or part of our body away equal to the magnitude of the harm that we inflicted. So remember also in the wudu we say when we read the dua and we pour water on the left arm in the month of Ramadan 2 years back when we were discussing the asrar of the some of the hikam and asrar of the wisdoms and secrets of the ibadat, and we talked about wudu and we did discuss that, you know, in the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, those du'as were mentioned. If somebody reads those du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates from every drop of his wudu, an angel is created that performs tasbih. From every angel, from every drop of wudu, Allah creates an angel that performs tasbih for this person. So if we do it the way Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, taught us to do the wudu with all those du'as. And one of those du'as was, when we pour the water on the left hand, we say, Allahumma la tu'tini kitabi bishimali. Oh my Lord, don't deliver my book of deeds into my left. Wala min wara'i zahiri. Nor do you deliver the book of deeds from behind my back. That's the second option for the bad doers. And the third option for the bad doers, وَلَا تَجْعَلْهَا مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُوكِ. And don't make it to be hanging or tied up in my neck. وَجَنِّبْنِي. أو, it's narrated in both ways. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِن مُقَطِّعَاتِ النِّيرَانِ أَوْ جَنِّبْنِي مِن مُقَطِّعَاتِ النِّيرَانِ. And keep me protected, keep me away from the flames of the fire which will make cut the body into pieces. So the flames of the fire will be cutting the body off the person into pieces, and that's the revenge the hellfire is going to take from every single zulm committed on any person. So ja'at kullu nafsin ma'aha sa'iqun wa shahid. Every person is brought along with him is an angel bringing him and an angel witness over him. That's what we learn in the light of the verse. And لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You were ignoring this reality. So a lot of people ignore the realities of the Day of Judgment. Isn't it right? They ignore the presence of the heaven right now. They ignore the presence of the hell right now. And the haqa'iq of the Day of Judgment, they're totally ignoring. Although the Day of Judgment does, the haqa'iq and realities of Day of Judgment do exist right now. And we are able to see, Quran has already said, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ إِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. If you had ilm al-yaqeen, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَهِينَ. You will certainly see the hell. So we will certainly be seeing the hellfire if we had the ilm al-yaqeen. The reason why we are unable to see the Jannat and Jahannam today is because we lack the yaqeen. And the hijabat of the sins are there, which are blocking us. So basically, Prophet says in his hadith that يُفْتَحُ لِلْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْ أَيَّامِ عُمْرِهِ أَرْبَعَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ خَزَانَةً. For every servant on the Day of Judgment, 24 treasures will be opened, for each day of his life, in other words. So for every day of my life, let's suppose I live for 50 years. So for each day of my 50 years of life, for each day, 24 treasures, khazana, 24 treasures will be opened up for me. Adada sa'ati layli wal nahar, equal to the number of the hours of the night and the day. 24 hours. Isn't that right? فَخَزَانَةٌ يَجَدُهَا مَمْلُوَّةً نُورًا وَسُرُورًا. There will be a treasure that will be filled up with nur and happiness. فَيَنَالُهُ عِنْدَ مُشَاهَدَتِهَا مِنَ الْفَرَحِ وَالسُّرُورِ. The person is going to see at the time when he witnesses that treasure, he will see it with happiness and rejoicement. He would rejoice and be happy, in other words. مَا لَوْ وُزِعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَأَدْهَشَهُمْ مِنَ الْإِحْسَاسِ بِأَلَمِ النَّارِ. Treasure was distributed on all the people of the hellfire. So we are talking about one treasure box only right now. There are 24 treasure boxes for every hour of the 24-hour day and night time. So we are talking about one box among the 24 boxes of treasure right now. For each box, for each treasure, if the nur found in that and the happiness found in that is distributed on all the people of the hell, لَوْ وُزِعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَأَدْهَشَهُمْ عَنِ الْإِحْسَاسِ بِأَلِمِ النَّارِ. So it will make them not to feel the pain of the fire. One treasure distributed on all the people of hell will make them not to feel and become, you know, basically desensitized and not to be feeling the pain of the fire. This is just the benefit of one box. وَهِيَ السَّعَةُ الَّتِي أَطَاعَ فِيهَا رَبَّهُ. And Prophet says that is the time in which the person did obedience towards Allah. So any hour of your day when you were spending the hour in ita'at and obedience of Allah, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, that you are filling up a box of treasure for your own self, which will be shown to you on the Day of Judgment. It will be opened up in front of you on the Day of Judgment, and that box of treasure will be full of nur and happiness, And this one box will be sufficient to make all the people of hellfire get, you know, forget their pain of the hell if you distribute that much noor and happiness to them. We are talking about 1 hour of worship of Allah only, not the entire year, entire life or entire day and night. ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ لَهُ خَزَانَةٌ أُخْرَى. Then Prophet says another treasure will be opened for him. فَيَرَاهَا مُظْلَمَةً مُنَتَّنَةً. He will find it dark, that means full of zulmat and darkness, and smelly, a bad odor and smell coming out of it. مُفْزِعَةً, that means it will be scary for him. فَيَنَالُهُ عِنْدَ مُشَاهَدَتِهَا من الفزع والجزع. He will find it at the time he sees it with scare and disturbance, in other words. So he will be very much nervous or disturbed. ما لو قسم على أهل الجنة لنغص عليهم Na'imaha. If this zulmat of this box was distributed over all the people of paradise, it will make their blessings of paradise to be basically unpleasant for them. It will make the blessings of paradise unpleasant for them. وَهِيَ السَّاعَةُ الَّتِي أَصَى فِيهَا رَبَّهُ. And that treasure filled of the darkness and zulmat is the time, is belongs to that hour when the person did a sin towards Allah. So any hour of the day and night that I commit a sin, I am filling up a box of treasure for myself, which will be made open in front of me, full of zulmat and darkness and bad smell. And when it would be opened, if that would be distributed on all the people of the paradise, they would just forget about their blessings, and it will make their blessings unpleasant for them. Not forget, but unpleasant. ثُمَّ يُفْتَحْ لَهُ خَزَانَةٌ أُخْرَى. Then finally the Prophet says, see, Prophet has been watching the haqa'iq of the samawat and ardh 24/7, 365, isn't that right? Nothing misses out from his information and his knowledge and his watch. He is always watchful because he is shaheed. Quran is calling him shaheed. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. The Prophet is watchful all the time, and besides, our amal are already being presented in front of the Prophet. So he is the mazhar of that name of Allah as well. لا يشغله شأن عن شأن ولا يلهيه قول عن قول ولا يغلطه سؤال عن سؤال. Isn't it right? One question doesn't make him forget the other question. One getting engaged in one action doesn't make him end up making a mistake while doing the other action. We are like this. If we start doing multitasking, we do 100 things at a time, we are going to mess up so many things. Isn't that right? You can only pay attention to as much things, not all the 100 things at the same time. Isn't that right? So, but it doesn't matter for the Prophet, because he is the mazhar of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine how many people are turning towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam every fraction of the second in every corner of the world, and they are saying Ya Aba Abdullah and calling Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam is responding to the calls. Isn't that right? How many people are turning towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam every second? And millions of people who are believers, and they remember Imam alayhi salam, and Imam is doing and performing the actions and fulfilling the hajat on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because he is the mazhar of all these names, all the names. So basically, ثُمَّ يُفْتَحُ لَهُ خَزَانَةٌ أُخْرَى فَيَرَاهَا فَارِغَةً لَيْسَ فِيهَا مَا يَسُرُّهُ وَلَا مَا يَسُوءُهُ. And Prophet said, then he's going to open a khazana, means a treasure box, in other words, and that box will be empty. He will not find in it anything that would please him or anything that would displease him, make him feel upset. Nothing of those two. وَهِيَ السَّاعَةِ الَّتِي نَامَ فِيهَا أَوْ اِشْتَغَلَ فِيهَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن مُبَاحَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. That's the time when a person slept. See, if we sleep by doing the wudu, then we don't find this kind of treasure box empty for us on the Day of Judgment, because if a person sleeps with wudu, Prophet has said in his hadith, مَنْ بَاتَ عَلَىٰ طُهْرٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى اللَّيْلِ. Isn't it right? Whoever sleeps on taharat, as if he has been awake throughout the night, he made the ihya'ul layl. That means he spent his night awake, busy in the worships of Allah. So if we do the wudu before going to sleep, we are not going to find this kind of box. But if a person just slept like that without doing wudu, so he is going to find an empty box for that hour of the day or night where he slept, or that hour of the day where he committed one of the mubahat, one of the actions which are okay to do and okay not to do, eating, drinking, walking, talking, all those things which are mubah in Islam. Obviously, we do the mubah with the niyat of qurbatan ila Allah, and that's how we can convert it into a mustahab for us, and that's how our urafa do. They perform nothing in their life except the mustahab and the wajib, because they convert all the mubahat into mustahab by doing it with the niyat of taqarrub. It gets converted into mustahab for you. فَيَنَالُهُ مِنَ الْغَبْنِ وَالْأَسَفِ عَلَى فَوَاتِهَا حَيْثُ كَانَ مُتَمَكِّنًا مِنْ أَنْ يَمْلَأَهَا حَسَنَاتٍ مَا لَا يُوصَفِ. The Prophet says, and this is the time, this time he would feel, this person who finds the empty box opened up for him, because that time of the day, back then in the life of dunya, he was either sleeping or he spent that hour for any mubah action of his life. Mubah action, in other words. So he will be, ghaban means, he will feel nadamat, pashimani, and repentance. I wish I would have filled up this box too. So he could have filled up with hasanat and good deeds and get so much rewarded which cannot be described. وَمِنْ هَذَا قَالُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Taghabun says, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ. So this is what we learn in the light of the verse. يوم التغابن is one of the 100+ names of the Day of Judgment, and this name is given to the Day of Judgment because of the fact that people will find boxes of treasure for their sa'at, their hours of the day and night where they slept or they didn't do anything wajib or mustahab, they did just some mubah action, so they will feel repentance on the Day of Judgment. I wish I would have filled up the box and got the reward. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Inshallah, we will continue the remainder of this in the next lesson. If you have any question related to the speech, we have 5 minutes for that.